most of you in this room will be familiar with Jen, our wonderful speaker. Very, very grateful that she's come to be with us this morning. I can't remember when I first heard you speak, Jen. It was quite a few years back when you first came here, wasn't it? Yeah.
No idea when.
Yeah, it was a while back. But I remember reading Jen's book a long time ago and thinking, yeah, what an amazing lady. So really honoured that she's come here this morning. So if you'd like to come up and... can I say a prayer for you before you speak? Am I allowed?
Oh, yes.
Is that all right?
That's
okay.
Lovely. Can
I hold
that.
Your hand? Jesus, I just want to thank you so much for this wonderful woman. Thank you for the blessing she's been to so many people. Thank you for her heart, her wonderful heart, and the hope that she has in you and that hope that she gives to other people. Thank you that she's a wonderful vessel that's used by you to bring healing to so many people. And I pray that you would speak through her this morning. Give her strength, wisdom, discernment, everything she needs. Thank you for the gift that she is, Jesus. Open our hearts to what you have to say to us, I pray. Amen.
Thank you.
Oh, I don't
need
one, that.
Well, let me look at you. I feel horribly exposed right out here in front of you all, but so many of you I do know and recognize from long ago, either when I came here, the last time, which I can't remember when it was, but some of you have all been down to my house in Hadlow, and that's so nice to see you again. You must come again, because we're still doing those days, and I'm a passionate gardener. But I have to tell you this, that I was chuckling to myself as I was driving here, because I was thinking, as all gardeners do, what shall I do this afternoon? Which little thing shall I tweak and what needs doing the most? And as I was driving here, and I thought, God does it so much better, because the hedgerows, they were breathtaking. All the way along, I came all the little country lanes, and the daisies, and I suppose they're buttercups or yellow somethings, but the colours are just gorgeous. And they're all growing wild. So I just thought, well, maybe I won't bother to tweak. I'll just go for another little extended ride. And come. Can you hear me? Is it all right?
Yes.
Oh, good. Good, good. Well, when Cheryl and I were talking about this, it was way back in the wilds of January, I think, cold and horrid. And we were thinking about doing it on the 13th of June. In the end, it didn't work at the hall and other events that you got round here. But the 13th of June, I would have loved to have come that day. Because on the 30th of June, 25 years ago, something very, very extraordinary happened to me. And I would have loved to have come and sort of celebrated the day. As it is, I think I'm just going to have a grandchildren day. I have 15 of them, so grandchildren days happen pretty often for me. But on that particular day, up until that day for 8 years before, I'd been in a wheelchair. I had encephalitis, like meningitis, affects the infection of the brain. And I'd been extremely ill for 8 years, which was difficult because I have 6 children. And lots of you know this story already, but just maybe one or two won't know it. And it was really difficult to bring up 6 children from a wheelchair, I tell you. Especially as 3 of them were boys. Oh, boy. You see, you just can't reach up to clout them. Not in the same way. And you do actually need their help for all sorts of things. So you can't fall foul of them too badly. And of course, the boys used to love to take me for mad rides in the wheelchair. And they would hit a pothole and I would, on several occasions, flew out. And then when it was sports day at school, one particular lad, he always wanted me to be taking part in the mother's race. Do you remember that awful thing? Where you have to kick off your high-heeled shoes and run with all the other mothers. And you know that your particular child really wants you to win. Do they have grandmother's races?
No.
I do hope not. Because that would be terrible. Well, anyway, on this particular occasion, I was sitting watching with the other mums in my wheelchair, and up came Duncan and he said, "Mum, you're going to do this?" I said, "I can't." "Yes," he said, "I'm going to push you." So we lined up with everybody else, And he was so determined that I would not at least come last that he zigzagged along all these running bums and kept tripping them up. He didn't come last. It was terrible. Anyway. But it was on 13th of June, 25 years ago, when something quite remarkable happened to me. And I was asked to go and speak at a ladies' meeting in my wheelchair. My minister's wife came too, and another friend who was going to play the guitar, not nearly as brilliantly as we had that beautiful time of worship this morning, but we went. And I was speaking there. And in the very front row, there was a very shy, very new young Christian. And at the end of the day, she prayed for me, prayed that I would get better, because she read the Gospels. And in the Gospels, Jesus is always healing people. So she thought, well, then he's going to heal her, isn't he? Well, why would he not? So she prayed for me, and a quite remarkable thing happened to me, something that my Christian GP still can't explain, but thanks God with us, and my neurologist was so surprised that he was speechless, which is unusual for a neurologist, because they're generally quite verbal, aren't they, I find? Anyway, I've been well ever since. Well, I'm not that well now, as you can see, because I'm excessively old. I'm massively old. And when you get that old, you get a bit arthritic-y, but it's a completely different condition. And I never had any problem with the other one. But it isn't easy. It isn't easy to have such a sudden, whatever you want to call it, miracle, event, wonder. And you might think it was. I had sat for years in that wheelchair and thought, now if only God would heal me, how different life would be, how wonderful life would be, what couldn't I do, and how amazing it would all be. And actually, you know, life hasn't been as easy or as pleasant in those 25 years as they were in the years before. I have to say that. Sometimes being healed isn't easy. It was such a sudden thing. I think if God had done it gently and gradually, it would have been fine. But suddenly to be well and to be walking around, I went into the baker's shop 2 days later, walked in, and the lady behind the counter said, "Excuse me, have you got a twin sister in a wheelchair?" "No, that is me." "Go on," she said. "Pull the other one." It was difficult. And then a man came up to me, a neighbour, and he said, you've been putting it on, haven't you? You've sat there in that wheelchair for 8 years, haven't you?" "I'm sure. It doesn't happen like that. You don't just get up and go like that." So what do you say? You just feel like wish the ground would open up. Anybody who would willingly sit in a wheelchair for 8 years would be very, very ill indeed. But ill up here, I think, wouldn't you think? Anyway, yeah, it was wonderful what it did for my children. Because, you see, they saw God doing something which the doctors hadn't been able to do, because the effects of encephalitis damage all the casings of nerve casings, as it was for me anyway, and other organs of the body. That didn't happen to me, but it can happen after encephalitis. Slight brain damage to the right side of the brain, which was quite clearly shown in the tests and things they did. But I think I have completely forgotten what I was going to say. Where was I? What was I just saying there? It's your fault for listening so carefully. But anyway, I think it's quite difficult suddenly to change and for your children to see you change that suddenly. But it was also very wonderful. My son, who was about very stroppy, 14 at the time, and they can get stroppy. You know, he's a rugby player and he was bigger than me, much bigger than me, and he did not want to go to church. Do you ever have a son like that? He wasn't going to go to... How do you get a son who's bigger than you to go to church when he doesn't want to go? Well, you just don't try, do you? Because really, you don't want a black eye on a Sunday morning. Really not. But he said to me, he tipped himself back on his chair. How do they do it? They sort of... Do you know what I mean? They tip back like this. And he just said, well, he said, if God can do a thing like this for you, Mum, he can do anything, can't he? And I think that's how they felt. This was something that they'd seen as a family. But you see, what I really believe very passionately is that that wasn't the biggest thing that God ever did for me. Because when you look back over a very long life, as I do, getting better was a wonderful thing. But actually, physical healing isn't the most important part of life. It's what's going on inside that matters more. This body of mine doesn't half hurt, does yours ever? No, not of you, younger, beautiful young people that you are. But you know, you get up in the morning and think, oh! But the good bit is that it's only an overcoat and it's not going to last us forever. No. But this bit inside is going to last us forever. And that's the bit that so often God's working on inside all the other things. And those are the things that really matter in the long run. And so I want to tell you what it is that I'm passionate about. And it isn't about going round and telling everybody that they could get up out of their wheelchairs if they tried hard enough. I'd hate that to happen to me. But I do think a lot of people get quite hurt by that. You know, if you had enough faith, you could get up too. I don't feel that's right, because I know some people who are in wheelchairs who I would consider great saints, just like Mother Teresa. Wonderful, wonderful people of faith. More faith than I've ever had. And yet, they live their lives in circumstances which are very difficult. But inside, they have a strength and a peace, which is phenomenal. Incredible. And I know plenty of people, and I guess you do too, who live in gorgeous houses and have perfect husbands who wash up every meal, never get grumpy about it. They have children who go away to boarding school and just come back very sweetly in the holidays and behave beautifully, you know. These people, but often they've got no peace inside. They seem to have everything wonderful on the outside, but inside they don't have that strength and that peace. So what I'm trying to say is that having that peace inside is paramount importance. And that's why I do what I do with the little pink leaflets that I've put about, Beauty from Ashes. But it's only a bungalow, for goodness sake, but it's a place where people can come. And I work with a lovely team. You'd think that I should have retired by now, shouldn't I? Of course I should. I should have a nice cosy armchair, or I should potter around little bits in my garden. But I'd hate to retire. Because what I do, I simply love doing. And I can do it sitting down, so it's perfectly all right. People come every day, not just to see me, because I work with about 15 other people. Many of them trained counsellors. One's a doctor. Some are ministers of churches, retired perhaps, and some are just people who are really good at listening. But they're all people who've gone through something tough in their lives. They've gone through some difficult challenge, and although they felt they were going to crumple at times, because that's how we all are, they've actually managed to walk through with God's help. And because they know that even though they didn't always feel him there, he was there. Like that footsteps poster, you know? Where you think that God, in the bad times, just wasn't around walking next to you at all. And he says, no, I wasn't walking next to you. I was carrying you in the bad times. And when you've discovered that truth, you just want to share it with other people, don't you? You want to tell people. And you want to help them to find that same confidence. So that's what I do, and I do so love it. But I tell you why that particular job that I do, why it started. And it all started with huge disappointment and an answer to prayer which wasn't the one I wanted. A no. Have you ever had a no to a prayer of your heart? No, when you wanted to marry that gorgeous man and you prayed that he'd ask you and the blighter never would. You know? Or you prayed for a child who was ill. The child didn't get better. You prayed that you would get better. You prayed for a husband. You prayed for a baby. You prayed for a job. And somehow that answer, no, came. And don't they hurt? And you think, well, God doesn't answer prayer. But the worst fact is that he has answered your prayer, but he's answered it with a no. And that is hard. And if you've ever been through that kind of an experience, well, I feel for you, because I have too. So it all began with this answer that I didn't want, definitely at that time. And it was 2 years after I first had the encephalitis. It was a much more important and revealing moment to me than 6 years after that when I got healed. And it happened when I was utterly fed up. I was so fed up with God that I didn't go to church anymore. I made an excuse. Do you know what they said in my church? You won't credit this. But we would turn up Sunday morning, six children, me and my husband, we would turn up. And a person at the door would say to me, well, sorry, you can't sit with your family because you're a fire hazard. Your wheelchair's a fire hazard. You'll have to sit at the back. And they have to sit there. Well, you can't do that when you've got six children because you have to glare at them. Yeah? So I was so offended, I thought, right, church doesn't want me, I shan't go. But actually what I was saying was, God doesn't want me. Because it's so hard, isn't it, when you feel sure that God must want to do what you want him to do, and he doesn't. I mean, why wouldn't he heal somebody with six children? 2 years into it, it was getting more and more difficult. The children were disturbed. They were upset. We were going to have to move from our house in the country into Tunbridge Wells. It's all right place, but it's a town, and I'm not a towny person. And God asked God so many times. And there were lots of books written in those days, a sort of big crop of Christian books, all about healing and Christian healing. And if you prayed in the right way, and you got the right person to pray, and you had enough faith, then you would be healed. And if you didn't, well, it would actually be your fault, because you obviously didn't have enough faith or some sin in your life. And I tried everything, absolutely everything. Before God, I tried everything and everyone, and still didn't get healed. And that's when a deep and horrible thing happens inside you, and I call it disappointment. But it's worse than just a word. It's a deep thing that bites at you. It's disappointment, and people feel it for all sorts of reasons. And anyway, that's how I was feeling. And we were just about to move, and it was perhaps just a week or so before the removal men would come. And I was so gigantically fed up with life, with God, with everything. And I thought, I've always been a passionate gardener, and in that house we had a garden in the country, and I loved it for years. And you know, you get very attached to your garden, don't you? You know each little plant that's going to come up. And I thought, I need to get out into my garden just one more time before I go and live in Tunbridge Wells with nothing but a hole for the dustbin outside the door. That's all we had. I've got to get out there. So I went out on, wobbled out on my elbow crutch things, you see. Wasn't totally at that time confined to the wheelchair. That was did come later. But out I wobbled. And I went down to the bottom of the garden where it met the field. And unfortunately, the cows sheltered under the willow trees, and all the nasty stuff they did seeped into the garden and made a sort of pond, which was very good fertilizer, but actually not nice to fall into, and I fell into it. Splat! Just like that. And nobody was looking from the house, because I was in such a foul mood. I think they were glad I'd gone out, you know? I fell in there, splat, and I didn't have the strength in my arms and legs to get out. I wasn't going to drown, but it was seeping down my neck and in my cuffs, and it was horrible. And I swore. Oh, my grandmother would have been horrified. In fact, I used words I didn't even know that I knew. And I realized that my anger was towards God. And the disappointment that he had not healed me and that he'd allowed my life to get into such a mess. And everything that was precious to me was going to be lost. And that's a horrible feeling. So I swore at him. And that's when the miracle happened. And I believe it was a miracle. You could explain away, if you wanted to, getting out of a wheelchair those years later. Lots of different explanations, surely you could come up with them. Plenty of people have. Maybe I was pretending all the years. I don't think so, but if you think so, that's fine. But you see, I don't believe anyone can ever explain away the miracle that happened to me at that moment. Because suddenly, in the middle of my swearing and my rage, I knew God was there. And I was conscious of his love. Absolutely, I felt loved. Now, I don't think I'd ever really thought that God loved me. You can think he loves the good people, you know, the ones with the collars on back to front and their families. God would love them, and he would love wonderful people that do wonderful things, but not just ordinary people like us. That's the way my mind went. I didn't think he would. But you see, that moment, actually, I felt personally loved. Have you ever had that experience? Have you ever felt God was so close to you that if you dared to put out your hand, you'd feel him? It's wonderful. You almost hold your breath. You say, I don't want this to stop. It's so lovely. So there was me sitting in this smelly stuff, just feeling loved. And I remember saying to him the first thing, I was saying something like, you know, you could have healed me. Why didn't you heal me? And what I believe he replied, I didn't hear a voice because I wasn't batty or anything, but I felt inside that he was speaking to me. And he was saying, I know about the pain that you're in. I know about it. But I just wish that you would ask me into the pain with you. And let me help you. And a penny dropped. And I've thought about it so many times since. I've sort of kind of realized more about what happened in that miracle moment. I think that we all have a secret little place inside where we put the pain, the disappointment with life, with our husbands, with our children, with our homes, with ourselves, with our mums, because they never were the mum we wanted them to be, with our fathers, because they weren't like other people's fathers. You know, that sense of biting disappointment, or the sort of anger that we're not supposed to have because we're nice Christians, or the fears that we shouldn't have if we had more faith. You know what I mean? Those negative things. We have to put the pain somewhere, so we shove it down. Well, to me, it looks like a cupboard inside, you know? Double doors, old-fashioned cupboard. Yours probably looks different. But it's a secret place in there somewhere where the pain goes. And we cover it. We're so good at covering it. And the better brought up we were, the better we are at counting to 10 and not being angry. Or smiling and being a good Christian. And we cover it with these smiles. And we cover it with busyness, don't we? Dashing around, doing all sorts of stuff. We cover it, sometimes, I have to say, with stuff like alcohol or chocolate biscuits or all sorts of things. We'll do anything to keep the doors of that cupboard shut, locked, tight. But at that moment, I realized that God wanted to come into that cupboard, into the middle of that pain, and help me with it. Because if you don't ask him in, the cupboard gets so full that eventually the doors burst open, don't you find? Or even just seep a little bit under the doors. And the pain gets out and it begins to sour things and spoil relationships and make life difficult. So all I could do was sit there because I couldn't get out. I couldn't shout loud enough for help. I just had to sit there. And I remember sitting there and I was saying, okay, then you come in then. You come right into the center of me, into this pain place, and help me because I can't go on coping with this. I don't want my life to go on a minute longer if it has to be like this. And he came. He came. I know he came because I changed. Absolutely. That's the miracle bit. See, a miracle to me is when something happens to you that you couldn't make happen yourself and no other human being could do to you. And it was such a complete change. We did move to Tunbridge Wells just a couple of weeks later. And it wasn't long before I was writing in my little diary, I'm happy. I never thought I could be happy again. And if you could be happy in Tunbridge Wells, well, you could be happy anywhere, believe me. But something had changed because you see what he does, when we allow him to come into that pain place, he gradually eases it out, pulls it out, but he replaces it with his peace and with a strange contentment that's the Bible calls joy, not jumping around joy, but a quiet feeling of it's okay. I'm all right. I'm going to make it. And that's the most important thing in life, I think, to know that peace and that sense of God kind of joy. And I changed. You could ask any of my kids of that. Mum was different, they would say. And I was. And that went on for 6 more years until the moment when I got healed, which spoiled the story entirely. It did really, you know. I'd even written a book, a bestseller, all about it, and ruined the thing because I got healed. Never mind. So what do you do when you do get healed and you know that physical healing is not the most important thing in life? It's how you react to the difficult things that really matters. Well, all I have ever wanted to do ever since then, in the last 25 years, is just to tell people that the secret thing is to just open the doors of that cupboard and ask him to come in. Because, you see, because we're Christians, we think we should be able to cope. So keep the doors tight shut and be busy. Clean the brass in church. Arrange the flowers. Do the Sunday school. But actually, we can do those things so much better and more happily when that cupboard's empty. Well, not empty, but full of that peace and that joy. So that's why the people come every day. About 60 a week come to have time just to talk. And just to be heard, a time, just so many times, just to open up that pain place and let it all filter away. I got a great big, it's a very helpful thing, really. I'm gardener, I'm so sorry to keep gardening. If you're not a gardener person, then really I'm being very boring. But just outside my window where I sit, I got a great big water butt. It's as tall as me. It's a gorgeous water butt. And it stands on a little platform because it's got a tap at the bottom. And so as it fills up from all the gutters around the house, all I've got to do is turn the tap on at the bottom and drain some of the water out and then I can put it on all my plants. Well, a terrible thing happened. A squirrel fell in once. I didn't know it had, but unfortunately it did. And the water in the butt got... Ugh. Well, I'll leave your imaginations to think what it was like. And I thought, yep, this is horrid. I've got to drain the whole thing out. So I had to turn the tap on and drain all that yucky, thick, nasty water right out. And then I put the hose in the top and I filled the butt again with lovely, fresh water. And that, to me, is what God's able to do. We have to be willing to turn the tap on at the bottom and let the pain begin to drain out. We've got stored inside here. And then he fills us up again with himself, with his peace and with that joy. And that's what makes us different. And you know we are different, aren't we? We cope with things astonishingly. Things that are hard, things that are tough. We don't. But you see, he's in the middle. And he's doing that kind of coping. I think it's time I stopped. In fact, I should have stopped 4 minutes ago. But maybe it doesn't matter. But what about we had a prayer just to finish? Would that be all right? Lord, there just might be some people here who know what it feels like to have a no to their prayer. And they just don't know what to do with the pain. Maybe some people here have been so badly hurt by someone else that if someone mentions that word forgiveness, they would spit. Because how could you forgive anything as painful as this? Because the pain is all stuck inside them and it's hurting. And there are some people who live with that awful anxiety that comes wafting up, first thing and waking. Lord, we believe that you are a God who does miracles. And you can begin to drain out of us all these things that weigh us down. And you can begin to fill us with fresh hope, fresh joy, fresh love for the people that we'd run out of love for them. But you could fill us with your love, with your patience for that person that's driving us up the wall. For your kindness for the person who irritates us so much. Lord, please would you just come into the very middle of our lives and fill us all over again with yourself. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen. Do you know that Cheryl said that if anybody wanted to have a little prayer about anything, then we'd be around, isn't that right? Thank you. Just grab that.
I don't know if I need this thing. I'm a bit too loud, aren't I? Thank you so much, Jen. I think it kind of, for me, it affirms what I was saying earlier, that thing is like the longer you live, the more wisdom you have. Isn't that true? I hope. So, yeah. So thank you.
When I hit 100, I'll come again, shall I?
Yay! Please do. I was thinking it'd be lovely to have a thing where you get together and have like different people of different generations speaking, because you hear you from your years of, you know, seeing you stand holding the chair and saying that your body isn't, you know, your body gets older.
Yes.
But you, what goes on inside is still, you've learned so much over those years. So thank you so much for sharing that with us and that hope. There's always hope, isn't there? Which I think there's that thing is that we've got to share, haven't we? We've got that light to share, that there's hope. So thank you. Thank you so much. So just a reminder, yeah, if you can put anything in the pots, that'd be great. And if you do want prayer, yeah, Jen's willing and I'm here and Kate and who else? Helen. But it's really lovely to get together, and I hope we'll do this again more often. But yeah, if you need to rush off, please go. If you don't, you know, we don't have to be up quite yet, so feel free to stay and chat or be prayed with or whatever. But thank you all so much for coming. It was good to get together, and we'll do it again soon. Thank you, Jen.